You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. As you notice, we have the Children's Church in here today. This is First Sunday, and we don't have Children's Church on First Sunday. This is Family Sunday, where everybody gets to hear some good preaching. We hope. Keep hope alive. I'm so glad you came. So I'm glad you're here today. You know, I want you to know God loves you and He's for you and He's pleased with you being here. I don't know what your past is. I don't know what happened last week or even this morning. But you're doing the right thing. You came to church today. God's pleased. Amen. Hallelujah. You are loved and you are accepted. Praise God. And you know you're needed. I have a pocket undone. Which one? This one? You want to straighten that out, the antenna? Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay. A little more? Okay. How's my cuffs look? Good? Okay, good. Good deal. All right. Well, I've passed my wife's approval. I guess I'm okay now, so. Amen. Hallelujah. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, people in general. You know, people just want to be loved. People want to be accepted. People want their coat to look good, you know. People want to be heard. They want to be heard. They want to be needed. You know, that's pretty much common with everybody. If you spend your life, you know, helping people and loving people and, you know, and encouraging people, listening to people, everybody has a story. You know, most of us listen to respond, wait for them to catch breath so we can say what we want to say. And we're not really listening, you know, we ought to listen. But God cares about you. He really does. He cares about you. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's not the ogre with the stick. He's not the guy with all the rules that we have to follow. Those rules are for our benefit. Those commandments help us and bless us. He has our best interest in mind. He really does care about us. He's crazy about us. Yeah. And you know what? He knows we can do better. That's the thing. He knows we can come out of our sin. He knows we can serve Him. We can love. We can forgive. We can do all those things. He knows that. He knows that. See, that's why He asked us to do that. He'll help us do that. And where we're lacking, he'll help us. And you know, praise God, we're all needed. We're all different. We're uniquely gifted. And you know what? We're deficient by design. I love that. Because God didn't give me every gift. That means I got to hook up with you to be completed. Really, us getting together in church completes us. We don't compete here. We complete. You have gifts I don't have. I got gifts you don't have. And you know, as we get together, I tell you, we become more complete. I'm a better man for knowing you. I'm a better husband, a better father, and a better pastor. You've made me a better pastor over the years, just knowing you, learning from you, you know, and learning different things and hearing different things. And everybody has different ways of doing things, godly ways. Stay with me. And that's good. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What I want to minister this morning, I started last week on the battle of the mind. And that's really where it comes down to, isn't it? What you're thinking about all the time. It's not what's happening to you. It's what's going on inside your head. Your perception of people, you know, determines how you look at them. They can be just perfect, but if your perception's wrong or off, if you're thinking the wrong thing, you're not going to like them. Well, you can change that. You can't change people, but you can change the way you think. Situations that you're facing sometimes seemingly can be overwhelmingly. They seem like they're overwhelming. They seem like there's no hope there. But anytime there's no hope, that is a prediction, that is a prophecy, that is a thought. That has not happened. To have no hope means that you don't believe it's going to get better. But God gives us hope. He tells us it can be better and it can be different. So if I change my thinking, I can change my mood. A couple of you got that? If I change the way I think, I can change the way I feel. I really can. I can change the way I look at things. Maybe I can't change everything in life. I believe we can change a lot of things, incidentally. But I believe we can't change everything. Problem is, we just lay down, don't do anything at all.
Amen.
We get burnt in a situation, and then we don't want to get in that situation ever again. You know, people get burnt on women, men get burnt with women, women get burnt with men. Have maybe a bad marriage, and they give up on marriage, or men give up on women. They think they're all bad. They're not. There's a couple of good ones. I'm just kidding. Stay with me. Some great ones in here. But you know, you have to. Boy, that's a terrible analogy. I start to say you have to get up on that horse and ride that horse again. But Women and men, okay? Let's make that real plain. Because you don't want to get burned. I mentioned last week Mark Twain said this. He says, if a cat sits on a hot stove, he'll never sit on a hot stove again. But he'll never sit on a cold one either. And that's the bad thing, is that you get burned and then you just throw the whole thing, you know, away. And life is, you know, it's got rough edges. Like that football coach said to his players, you know, during practice, he said, if you want to come out here and you want to practice and you want to play, you need to realize, hey, we're going to get bumps, we're going to get bruises, it's a rough sport, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get run over. But if you want to come out here and you understand that there's bumps and bruises, we come out here and play, we'll win some games. Well, life's the same way. It's got rough edges. It sticks, it bites, it grabs, you know. But everything's not bad, and everybody's not bad. Don't buy the lie. See, you defeat yourself in your head. Fear comes in, then you don't attempt anything. Fear robs us. Shakespeare said it's a traitor to us because the fear to attempt. We fear to attempt anything. Hey, just get out there and faith your way through it. Make some mistakes, fall down, get back up again. Hallelujah. You know, I think as John Wayne said this, he said, courage is feeling fear and saddling up anyway. You know, and it is. So you just saddle up and keep going. Praise God. Hallelujah. But get a hold of your thought life. See, that's where it all starts. That's the start of everything is your thoughts. Then it turns into words, then it turns into actions, and then it turns into a lifestyle. So what you're thinking on, what you meditate on, the Bible has much to say about meditation. Psalms 1 is an awesome example. Joshua, the first chapter, is another awesome example of what we think on, what we meditate on. Do you think everybody's out to get you? Well, if you do, you'll be a conspiracy theorist. You'll think everything everybody does has you in mind. Hey, let me inform you and give you some insight here and help you. People aren't thinking about you. They don't lay awake at night thinking about how to get to you. They're thinking about themselves, just like you are, just like I am, just like all of us are. You know, I'm up here, see, I'm not thinking about what you're thinking about me. I'm not thinking that way because I know you're thinking about what I'm thinking about you, so that's okay. Are you with me? I really believe you love me. You wouldn't have come. You know, you didn't have to come here. You could have gone somewhere else. So if you didn't, you know, if you don't want to hear a good sermon, you wouldn't be here. Who wants to hear a bad sermon? Come on. So you're out there rooting for me just as much as I'm up here trying to do my best too. Amen. So let's do it. Let's have us a good message today. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're in this thing together. Right. And so no one's picking on anybody. We just want the presence of God, the power of God. We want His anointing. We want His direction. We want to know how to live, how to make our lives better. Come on, you can live a better life. You don't have to live in depression. You don't have to live without hope. You do have a purpose. There are people that look up to you, people that, idolize you in some way. There's always someone that looks up to somebody else. You are always a mentor to someone, whether you realize it or not. People are watching you, whether it's kids, grandkids, relatives, friends, neighbors, fellow workers, or whatever. You know, you mean something to somebody, and you sure mean something to God. Amen? Amen. And so you want to live right. You want to stay on top of it and be positive. Listen, don't be negative. There's enough negative out there. We have God in our lives. We have every reason to have hope. We have every reason to be positive. We have every reason to smile. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? And to spread the love. Yeah. Praise God. But it's going to start up here in our head. In 2 Corinthians 10. I tell you to turn there. 2 Corinthians 10. Let's read this kind of a text. We used this last week. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God or through God for the pulling down of strongholds." Everybody say stronghold. There's a fight going on, and there's the devil's trying to set up strongholds, and I'd submit to you in context here. He's trying to set those strongholds up in your mind. And many of us have them, and we need to pull them down. Many of us have strongholds that say we don't count, we're not important, we just never can do anything right, we're not as good as somebody else. In fact, we always think if something's going to happen, it's going to happen with somebody other than me, somebody with gifts that I don't have, and probably somewhere else than I am. Are you with me? That it's going to be different, it's going to be difficult, and it's going to be distant. It's just somebody, not me, you know. But, hey, it is you. You can improve. You can get better. God can use you. You are gifted. You are somebody. You do count. You say, well, I'm not as smart as somebody else. Yeah, but you're smarter than somebody else. Well, I'm not as gifted as... Well, you're gifted. See, if you start that comparison route, you'll always lose because there's always somebody better, but there's always somebody worse. Just be you. Listen, everybody else is already taken already. So just be yourself. Amen? Okay? And you don't have to, you know, get over everybody. Just get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. Okay. Are you out there? I want to encourage you. You know, but I'm not just patting on your back. I want to tell you, you can do something. And that's the end of all knowledge is action. We come to church, find out what to do. You need to start thinking differently. If you want to get your body in shape, you go work out. If you want to get your mind in shape, you stop thinking the way you used to think. You root down some of those strongholds. Maybe your daddy said something bad. Maybe your mama said something bad. Maybe you had good parents. I hope you did. Maybe your employer or employees said something about you. Maybe your wife or your husband. I don't know. Maybe you heard something that's stuck in your head and you can't get... Listen, you can get it out. Start putting in there what in your head what God said. Amen? And pull that stronghold down. Just pull it down. Praise God and step out and live life. Be a light, be a witness, be a help to somebody. Praise God. You can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There's a good one, Philippians 4:13. Just take that and say that about 10 times in the morning when you get up. Get out of bed and say, good morning, Lord, instead of good Lord, it's morning. Attitude, perspective, the way you think. You know, on the way to church this morning, I came myself because Brenda wasn't ready. She came later. Not that I even... That's gone. I don't even remember that. It's out of my head. But anyway, well, she got up and started hemming pants and stuff, and she hemmed a brand new suit, and it looked like I had high waters on when I... So we had to change suits, and I got another suit. And anyway, she wasn't ready because she was trying to help me get ready, you know. I just don't understand why she can't get me ready first and her ready and still get on time. I don't get that. But anyway... But as I was coming to church this morning, I was just going over scriptures that I go over a lot. You know, I was thinking about how greater is He that's in me than He's in the world. And I said it several times. I'll say it out loud. You know, there's nobody in the car. It's better than chewing somebody else out talking to the windshield. You ever done that going down the road? I've passed some of y'all. I know. I mean, there's nobody in the car. You're talking to the windshield, you know. Well, get your head full of God's Word and start saying what God says. And I was thinking about the class this morning, thinking about the worship service, and just, you know, thanking God for the opportunity and thanking God that He's with me. And hallelujah, we're more than conquerors through You, God. I thank You, I'm more than a conqueror. I thank You, Father, that You're in me, and greater is He that's in me, He's in the world. And, you know, I got here, I was pumped, I was ready. Hallelujah. I just encouraged myself in the Lord. Because if I start thinking about me outside of the Word and outside of God's Word, then other thoughts start creeping in. If I don't fill my mind... See, it's not a matter of filling your mind with thoughts. It's a matter of who's going to fill your mind with thoughts. Because thoughts come. Hey, they're going to come. Y'all remember that commercial years ago, that guy's driving down the road, and he said, I think all the time. He's from India. He said, I'm always thinking, oh, there's another thought. Oh, I just thought of something else. I'm thinking all the time, oh, there's another thought. You know, well, yeah, everybody's thinking all the time. But, you know, let's determine what we think. Let's don't let the devil determine what we think. Circumstance determine what we think. Tragedy determine what we think. Let's let God determine what we think. Let's pull down some of these strongholds, you know, that we bought, the lies we bought into, and start believing what God says. See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down a stronghold. Fifth verse, casting down imaginations or arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There's a lot of arguments and natural logic and reasoning against God and His Word and against the promises of God. And a lot of thoughts will come say, you can't do that, and you can't have what God says you have, and you can't do what God says you have, and you're not who God says you are. And you got to cast that down. Just like in a garden, you got to root out weeds that choke out the seed and the Word. Well, don't let that choke out your destiny. Don't let those strongholds destroy your future. You can do what God says you can do. Yeah. You can have what God says you have. And you are who God says you are. Yeah. We just hadn't realized it yet. unused, unrealized potential. You know, that's what's going on in our life. We've got all these gifts and resources, but we've been lied to. I tell you, we've been stepped on, we've been trampled on, we've been run over, we've been bamboozled. And it's time we woke up and said, no, God says this. And I'm not going to entertain that thought. I'm not going to leave room for those kinds of thoughts. And really, the Phillips translation here I love, it says, our battle is to break down every deceptive argument and every imposing defense that men erect against the true knowledge of God. We fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. And I'd submit to you, when you say you can't and God says you can, you are not submitting that thought to the authority of Christ. Jesus is Lord, not me. And if He says I can, I can. And I am going to submit that thought of I can't to the thought of God that says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. And that thought that says I'm nobody and I don't count and nobody knows the trouble I see and everybody's always picking on me, Charlie Brown. I submit that to that I am the apple of God's eye. Hallelujah. That God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. I submit that thought to the authority of Christ. I make it bow its knee and say, no, You're not Lord and You don't lord it over me. Jesus lords it over me, and this is what He has to say. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. And that's a discipline. You have to work out. And it's tough at first, and you feel a little sore after about 3 days of that. But if you keep plowing through and you keep disciplining yourself, it'll get a lot easier. Hallelujah. And you can handle a whole lot more pressure. Your muscles will grow, spiritually speaking, and your mind will be more disciplined. Hallelujah. It's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. You can change your thinking, and your thinking in turn will change the way you talk. And if you change the way you talk, you'll change the way you walk. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalms 10. Hallelujah. Let's go over a few things here. Because we're talking about God's thoughts, what God says. This helping you this morning. I'm stirred up about it because it changed me. You know, I used to be so negative. When I was lost and didn't know God, I'd always think for the worst, you know, and think whatever the worst could happen, that's what's going to happen. And in my twisted, convoluted logic, I thought, well, if I think for the worst, then it probably won't happen and it won't be as bad as I thought it was going to be. Wow. I don't know how twisted that is, but you know, if you just think for the worst, it's got to be better. That is a twisted hope right there if you think about it. But anyway, it's all messed up because it's not scriptural. And of course, when I got saved, I found out I had a future. I found out I had a hope. I found out that God was for me, not against me. I found out that He really did love me. I was most likely to fail in school. And hallelujah, I found out I could succeed in God. I could make it in God. Hallelujah. I got kicked out of high school. I got never finished high school, you know, and in drugs and jails and all those things. But you know, I got saved, praise God. And that's I was a whole new person then. It's a whole new ball game. It's a whole new day now. Hallelujah. That old man died and a new man came into being. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. And I thank God for my parents and my family and all the good that they did. But you know, my future is determined not by them but by me. I hope you had good parents and I hope you love your parents. But you don't live your life blaming your parents and blaming your upbringing and blaming the color of your skin if that's the case. Stay with me. It has nothing to do with anything. Genetics have nothing to do with your future. Your upbringing has nothing to do with your future. Stay with me. Your environment has nothing to do with what's going on now. You had a bad day at the office because the boss yelled at you. Well, if you got mad, it's because you got issues. Pray for your boss. He's got issues too, but don't you get issues just because he's got issues. Hello? Listen, if my boss were better, if my wife were better, if my husband were better, listen, don't play that victim role. We have a nation of victims. It's always somebody else's fault. Hello? Sure gets quiet in here when I talk like this. Amen. The good part of this is if I'm not a victim, if it's not somebody else's fault, if it wasn't my daddy and wasn't my mama and it wasn't my boss and it wasn't my wife and it wasn't my husband and it wasn't the circumstances of the day, then it's me. And you know what? I can change me. Yes. I can change me. If I'm responsible, I'm able to respond. Responsible. I'm able to change. Hallelujah. I can do something about this. I can change the way I think. I can change the way I act. I can change the way I talk. I can't change you, but I can change me. I can't change my past, but I can change my future. Woo! Hallelujah. See, the thought that you've got to live this way the rest of your life, your future hasn't happened yet. It hasn't been determined yet. Your future is determined by what you're doing now. I can go any direction. My future is open. He said, God's got it all laid out. No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't. He gives me all kinds of plans to choose here, and He'll work with me on this. He wants to bless me. He desires to bless me, but it's my choice. My choice. And if I choose to start thinking differently, start, you know, encouraging myself in the Lord, encourage myself in His Word, start meditating on His goodness and His promises. Hallelujah. See, we need a can-do attitude.
Yes.
You know, Jesus very plainly said, don't take the thought. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Little chicken running around, you know, Chicken Little. The sky is falling. I used to say chicken run around with his head cut off. I used to say neck cut off. Thank God for my wife and my daughters that continually encourage me. And I'm a victim. They'd say, Dad, it's a chicken with his neck cut off, not head cut off, not neck cut off. I go, okay. I actually used to do that. You ever run a chicken's neck? Well, this is a good sermon, isn't it? Yeah, all you kids, I'm glad you're in here anyway. Let's move on rather quickly, because I forgot Children's Church is not in here. Okay, is in here, okay. But don't get rattled. Don't just get all upset. Chill out, okay? Just be still and know that He is God. That's what the Scripture says. And hey, it's not the end of the world. And whatever's going on is going to change. Thank God seasons change. The tide rolls in again. Hey, springtime's coming. Hey, it comes fast down here in Texas. Amen? And it comes faster in a Christian's life too, I believe that. Springtime comes a lot faster. Winter doesn't last that long. Bad times come, but they go. They come to pass. They don't come to stay. They just come to pass. It's not going to be like this the rest of your life. You know, I tell people in times of loss that over, and it's not just, you know, I know it doesn't have a lot of power at the moment, but if you get to meditating on it, it is powerful. It's helped me over the years. People helped me and told me this too, that, you know, I know it's bad. I know this is terrible. There's nothing good we can say about tragedy. Tragedy's bad. It's not God. God didn't do it. He didn't try to bring something good out of you by taking one of your loved ones. He received them if they're Christians, but He didn't take them. Death is an enemy. The Bible's very plain that death's not a friend. It's not a tool of God. It is an enemy of God. But here's one thing for sure we do know from the Scripture. As bad as it is, this is going to get better. We're going to heal up. We're going to get better. This day's going to turn into another day, and I'll tell you what, there's still going to be pain, there's still going to be remembrance, but we're going to get better, hallelujah, because Jesus is with us, and we're going to get over this, and we're going to get through this. We're not the world, we're Christians, hallelujah. We grieve, but we don't grieve as those that have no hope. We got hope, hallelujah. So don't you buy that lie. Don't let the head spin that record over and over and over and skip and just stay on that one spot that I'm going to feel like this forever. No, you're not. You're not going to feel like this forever. You'll never forget it, but you'll get better. You will. You will. God says that. Are you with me? And see, that'll ruin you if you grab on to that. I know people that have just picked up a spirit of grief. Instead of grieving, they picked up a whole spirit of it, and they won't let it go. And the years go by, and they won't let it go. You have got to shake that thing off. You have got to get that stronghold out of your mind. Hey, it was a bad deal. Hate it. But thank God they're in heaven if that's the case. Praise God for that. And you know what's happened to you? It's happened to a lot of people. Come on, I don't mean to be insensitive, but we're in a broken, fallen world. We're not in heaven. A lot of people have suffered loss. That's not to desensitize your loss. Your loss is painful because it's yours. But I tell you, others have healed and you can too. You can get over it. You can rise above it. Hallelujah. You can. Don't you let your thoughts be consumed by this thing. You get in the Word and you get the Word in your head and your mind and you start thinking about God and His healing power and His comfort and His peace and His joy and seeing that loved one again. Are you with me? I tell you, God loves you. He's for you. He wants to help you. But He helps you through disciplining you, helping you think right and talk right. And it's a discipline. It's tough. It's hard work, but it's worth it.
Amen.
It's a challenge. Man, sometimes I just want to throw the towel in. I do. You know, I'm normal. I'm human. But I know better than that. I know that's not right. I may feel that way, but that's not right. No, that's not right. God does love me. I still got a future. Still got a hope. Praise God.
Amen.
Hey, Psalms 10. Y'all found it? Sometimes I get on something like that. I just, I take that back. A lot of times I get on stuff like that. You know. Happens all the time. Rabbit trails. Those are big, fat rabbits. They got a lot of meat on them. I'm going to chase them down. Eat them up. Okay. You're so fluffy. You ever seen that? I digress. Psalms 10, verse 4 says, "The wicked in his pride or proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." Wow. I don't want to be there. Do you? And I'm not saying you're wicked when you're worrying, but you're sure not trusting God. Are you with me? But I know this, that wicked people don't think about God. God is not in their thoughts. So that means that I can have God in my thoughts. Isn't that right? I mean, let's just flip that coin. We're not wicked. I hope you're not wicked. Goodness gracious. I hope you're a Christian. I hope you're born again. Well, that means God's in your thoughts. So we go into life with God in our thoughts. We go into tragedy with God in our thoughts. We go into challenges with God in our thoughts. Hallelujah. I'm not alone, praise God. I've never been alone a day in my life since I got saved. God's for me. Hallelujah. God, help me. I need some help, God. See, you know who to call on. You can call on Him. God is in your thoughts. So this is possible. I can think about God. I can get God in my thinking, in my thoughts. This is not some challenge that you can't meet. This is something we can all do and should do. And it'd actually be wicked not to. It'd be wicked not to keep God in our thinking. You know, you got this going on, that going on. Have you put God into that equation? Well, I got this and I'm facing that. Well, have you stopped and thought about what God says about that? You need to get God into the equation. You need to put God into the material here that you're working with. Because until you get God into the equation, you're not being real because you're not taking in all the information. If you haven't considered God, you haven't considered everything.
Amen.
And when you consider God, it changes everything. You can consider God in your marriage. You consider God in your business. You consider God. Have you put Him into your thoughts concerning this situation or that situation? If you do, put Him in your mind, your thought life, and captivate your thoughts now, and subjugate all your thoughts to the obedience of Christ, to what God says, it changes your whole outlook and your whole attitude. Lose the tude. See, get a hold of a God attitude, because your attitude determines your altitude. How high you want to fly. Praise God. Okay, that's Psalms 10. Turn to, before you do that, the NIV here says, in all his thoughts, the wicked person, there's no room for God. Isn't that the case? You know, I think I said this last week. If you got a plot of land and it was just covered in trees, you don't just go out there and start throwing seeds in there. Hello? So here we are, we're thinking, well, if I just start getting the Scripture. Well, you do need to get the Scripture, but you know what you have to do? You have to pull up some of those trees that are already there. It's not just irrigating deserts, it's pulling up forest.
Yes.
And rooting out old ways of thinking.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
We're not just trying to get new thoughts in, we're trying to get some old ones out.
Yeah.
We're trying to get some strongholds that are in there out of your mind. Every time you face something, well, I'm never going to make it. Hey, you got to get that out of your head. If that's the way you think, that's wrong. Root that out. Hello. Well, nobody likes me. You go to a job interview and you don't have any confidence at all. They're not going to like me. I'm just going to mess up every time I go in there. I'm so nervous. I'm shaking already. Anybody got any Darvon? Anything? Something. Need some pills. Something. I got. Stop. Whoa. Slow down. Are you with me? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He gives you boldness. Hallelujah. They're looking for somebody like you. They need somebody. That's why they're hiring. Because they want somebody to fill that position.
Right.
Might as well be you.
Yeah, right.
It's got to be somebody. Why not you?
That's right. Amen.
Go in there with confidence, with your head held high.
Right.
Praise God, are you with me? See, root out that thinking. I've been so many of these things, I just reject me every time. Well, hey, stop that thinking.
That's right.
Just stop it. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16, is that where I tell you to turn to? I didn't tell you? Okay. I thought I did. just didn't say it, did I? Yeah. Proverbs 16. Goodness gracious, I cannot believe it's 12 o'clock already. That's not right. Ted, would you turn that clock back just a little bit? I need 5 more minutes. Okay. Proverbs 16. Okay. Proverbs 16. Oh, this is good. I love this. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." I'm reading New King James. I know some modern translation says your plans will be established. But that's kind of true. Your thoughts are your plans. What you're thinking on is what you are planning. And if you want your thoughts established and confirmed and succeed in what you're thinking and planning, then commit your works to the Lord. Put God first in your thinking. What does God have to say about this? We need God on this situation. You say, well, I wouldn't pray about my business. I wouldn't put God into that. Well, you know what? You don't need to be doing that if you wouldn't pray about it. Hello. I mean, if there's some area of your life you wouldn't dare pray about, oh, I wouldn't involve God in that. Well, you don't need to be involved in it. But the point is, you do need God's involvement in your business. You do need Him in your marriage. You do need Him in your life. Hallelujah. Involve Him. Put Him in the process. The wicked has no room in his mind for God. There's no room for thoughts of God. But we're not wicked. So, it says here, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Man, I want to get my thinking straight, don't you? I want to start thinking right. I'm tired of thinking wrong and being critical. I'm tired of being sarcastic. I'm tired of gossip. I'm tired of thinking bad thoughts about people. Aren't you tired of that? Don't you feel bad when you say bad things about people and you walk away and think, man, I wish I hadn't said that. Why am I that way? Why am I so negative? Well, because you keep saying it. Stop saying it. Stop thinking it. Start saying some good things. Put God in your thinking and change your whole life. Woo! Quit talking bad about your husband. Quit talking bad about your wife. Quit talking bad about the church. And quit talking bad about your preacher, your pastor here. Wow. No, you know you're doing that. I think y'all all love me. And if you don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. Okay. But you purposely say, good, I love Brenda. I think she is the greatest. I brag on her all the time. She does so many things that I can't do. I mean, she is so gifted in areas I'm not. I'm just blessed to be married to Brenda. I'm telling you, I am. And this church, are you kidding me? I don't have a thing to complain about. I don't. I mean, there are things that come up, sure. But you are the greatest people. We have got the greatest church. We have such passion in our church. So many workers in our church. People love God here. We don't have any problems. We've never had a split in 29 years. Are you kidding me? We're starting all kinds of ministries. You are the greatest. I'm just blessed to be here. Really, I am honored to be here. I wouldn't be anywhere else in the world. Praise God. This is where I'm supposed to be. I love you.
I love you too.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Michael. Good job. I was waiting for somebody. Good. But see, it changes your whole attitude. Makes me want to come down here. I can't wait to get here. Hallelujah. It's church time. Man, we're going to shout. We're going to sing. We're going to preach. We're going to enjoy church and fellowship and walk out of here feeling like $1 million. Praise God. Knowing we can make it. God's on our side. Hallelujah. It's time for church. Love church. I love this church. Love coming here. It's not a job. But see, it's an outlook. It's the way you perceive things, what you think about them.
Right.
Hallelujah. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established.
Amen.
Praise God. You want to get a hold of your thinking? Commit it to God. Commit your mind to God. Amen?
Yes.
You want to start thinking right, talking right, and living right? Well, first start with the head. Your head is where your head is, okay?
Yeah.
It's Toucan Sam. Remember the commercial? You know, follow your nose? Okay. Your head, what you're thinking, that's going to take you in certain directions. What you're meditating on. Even in your conversations about people. Are you picking people apart or are you praising them? Are you judging people or are you loving them? It determines how you look at people. You know, I could pick you apart, pick me apart. And we could all just be miserable. You would hate coming to church and you'd sit there like this the whole time I'm preaching. And I wouldn't smile and I'd be mean. And I'd talk about how you never done a good thing in your life. You hate your mama, you hate your papa. God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. God loves you and I love you. Wouldn't be very many of you out here. It'd be the wrong thing to do. It's amazing how nice people become when you start thinking differently. You know, I said you can't change people, but you really can. You can change your perspective and your mind, and all of a sudden they get sweeter and they get nicer, and all of a sudden they're not so obnoxious and they have potential. I know everybody's normal till you get to know them, but but you can love people. You can love people if you change the way you think. Hallelujah.